Hello, is anybody out there? Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, November 8th. This is Todd Cochran, your host today. As always, we always want you to visit the website at www.geeknewscentral.com to check out all the links that we talk about today. I've been messing with the setup here in the office the last couple of days, and I'll be honest with you, it's been a problem. We shut all the computers off in the office, minus the one we're recording to. And this room just is too noisy. And I'm going to go buy a different mic stand tomorrow, see if that helps things out, get the mic off the table. But it's been a real problem. It seems to be the hotel room I was in Texas was... Believe it or not, conditions were much better there to record than they have been here, and I've been getting much better. I got much better recordings there than I did there. But anyway, hey, those of you that are out there that have been calling me on Skype, we've been having problem getting connections. I apologize. I don't know what's going on. So tomorrow I'm going hunting for a voicemail service that's going to allow me to do what a lot of you are doing too. Get interviews and comments into your show. They're going to, I'm going to set it up so it'll forward an MP3 to me. Or you can email me an MP3 of your comments or whatever WAV file, whatever you want to record it to geek@geeknewscentral.com. And of course, as always, we're coming to you from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. And, it's you're going to be receiving this podcast Monday morning on your machines, and it's about 10:24 in the evening here, Sunday evening. It was absolutely a wonderful day. I loaded the wife and the kids up, and we went up to North Shore. Had some real nice waves today, and had dinner up there with some friends of ours, and it was just nice to get away from behind the desk and doing the things geeks normally do when they're at home. And my wife, of course, had a list of chores for me to do, and I got those things taken care of for her. I did send out some emails to some friends of mine that I know run software companies, and I'm lining up interviews. So what I've got to do now is go out and buy some more gear so that we can patch the phone conversations right into the patch panel here that I've got set up. And hopefully on either the next podcast or the following one, we'll have our first interview. And should be really exciting. For those of you that are looking to solve some of your spam issues and that run your own servers, I think it's a show that you're not going to want to miss. I'll try to pre-announce that the interview is going to be up on the podcast so that you guys can be sure to pull that one down. I downloaded the new iPodder software, version 1.1, and they've done a great job. But if any of you guys that are listening to the show are developers of iPodder, hey, I don't know what you did differently, but every time you download a podcast, it launches the iTunes application and starts the song, or starts the podcast. Before it would just load it, but now for some reason it's automatically starting. So, you know, it's 2:00 in the morning the other day, and I heard I had the speaker turned up high on the computer, and I heard Adam Curry start speaking on Daily Source Code. So it was kind of eerie. 2:00 in the morning, out of my office comes Adam Curry's voice. So I hope the iPodder team can get that fixed. Hey, we're going to try a little music again tonight with the podcast. Send us your comments whether or not it was irritating or not. I just like to hear it in the background to make things flow for me a little better. We're going to kick it off tonight with a song from Geo Bird, and it's called Frozen. But as we get into the items I've got tonight, I found one thing that it's got me a little bit concerned. I know a lot of you guys are using Gmail, and there's a rumor out on the net on a site called spdrivers.net where a individual had his Gmail account shut down, And apparently he did have some cracks, and he did have some key gens on the within email on his account. So apparently Gmail is monitoring what is being put on those accounts. He can't account for the account being shut down for any other reason. But he noticed that when he had logged into his Gmail account, the files were missing, and then a couple days later he got a cancellation notice. If you notice tonight, I'm fighting a little bit of a sore throat, so I'm going to grab some water here from time to time, so I hope it doesn't become too irritating, but hey, this is a podcast, give me a break. But if Gmail is doing this, it tells me that they're looking at the email a lot closer than what initially was first suspected. So it concerns me, and I hope it concerns you. And I guess we're going to have to watch and see if any other people get their accounts shut down for a similar type of activity. I did listen to several of the sessions at BloggerCon that Dave Weiner put on. And unfortunately, I was still suffering from a little bit of jet lag, and I slept in Saturday morning. So the primary session that I missed, the podcasting session, was already finished and in the can before I got my audio stream going. And if anybody's captured that out there, I'd appreciate it if you would email me that. I'd like to hear it. I know IT Conversations are going to have it on pretty soon, but that's one I really want to hear. And send it to me at geek@geeknewscentral.com. Okay. Excuse me. Okay, the next item on the list today, we're going to talk, looks like TechnoRatty is going through a site design, and they've done a site redesign, and they've launched some new features. Supposedly they're doing much faster indexing. They've redone the search result pages, some better metadata, more data is being indexed. They're doing advanced search query language, which is includes some Boolean algebra type things and not or phrases, and faster results. Now I know I have searched TechnoRatty on numerous occasions in the past and been absolutely disappointed in the system's performance, and they obviously have not scaled it to a size that is supporting the users right now. So I'm going to hope that this improvement is going to speed things up. I did kind of bash in the IRC chat. I didn't really bash, but I made a comment on using PubSub. And I talked about that once before on an earlier podcast and how I was really sold on that service, which has thus far been far superior in getting information to me than what I've been able to get on TechnoRatty. Now, Feedster gives me a pretty good results on things too, but they asked me, one of the people on the IRC chat who worked at TechnoRatty asked for some inputs. And basically, I pay for some watch list, and I'm hoping that they will get the email results sent to us on a daily basis like they're supposed to, and I just don't think they are. So, if you guys hear that squeaking in the background, that's my chair. I'm going to have to do something with that, too. That thing is driving me nuts. I know I can hear it, so I know you guys are going to be able to hear it. This song is by another song by Geoff Bird. It's Silver Plate. So his music has been found on GarageBand.com. Check it out. There's a new little tool out. It's a extension for the Google Desktop Search. They're calling it GDS Plus version 1.0. It's going to allow you to allow the Google Desktop to search XML, SQL, .bat files, log files, Visual Studio source code files, Visual Basic 6 source code files, and I don't know anybody that's using WordPerfect anymore, but WPDs and rich text format. I think it's pretty cool. It's something that someone has hacked up and put together. It is not an official release program from Google, but it's going to give you some added capability. And I'm going to send an email to Larry Gadea, the creator of it. I'm going to ask him to see if he can hack something up so that he can do AutoCAD files. And I'm going to tell you what, if he can go in and index an AutoCAD file, I will personally send him a significant donation to his work there, because that is one thing I deal with on a daily basis. And if I could able to search information within AutoCAD files to find, let's say, a drawing number, a wire number inside a drawing or something like that, man, what a powerful add-on for the Google desktop search. There's a report out that Syndicate 8 is offering a better feed search. They've made some improvements there, so I haven't used their site very much just because of the fact that it's been a little bit slow, but there's a word out that they're providing a better feed search. Nick Bradbury, who is the creator of Top Style and Feed Demon, he donated $1,000 to the BloggerCon conference. And I know there was a little buzz going on at the BloggerCon conference, which is a users conference. And I applaud his remarks that he put on his website today. And he says a comment in here. And basically what happened is all the developers or anybody that donated $1,000, it was a blind sponsor. You know, they were recognized that they gave the money, thanked up front by Dave Weiner on his website, but you know, basically that was it. So the developers are not supposed to promote their products at BloggerCon. The developers are supposed to. Now that was irritating. The developers at BloggerCon are supposed to sit back and, in essence, keep their mouths shut. Now, developers are users too, so as long as they weren't pimping their product, they were allowed to talk. And but several of them didn't, and it became an issue. And Dave had to get a little not necessarily nasty, but he just told him, hey, you know, keep your comments to yourself about your product. And but the comment that Nick Bradbury makes on his website is, he says, I was asked whether I believe my $1,000 donation to BloggerCon was money well spent. And I can only say, hell yes. If I don't earn an extra $1,000 from the ideas gained at the conference, then I deserve to be fine. And I applaud what he has to say there. I deal with companies on a daily basis where I am the customer. I am the one who has spent literally multi-thousands of dollars with their company. And when I speak to them, I expect them to listen. As you know, and I may be a solitary customer. I may be a customer that they are under contract with me. But the customer is always right. And, you know, when I ask for something of a vendor or a software company, it's because it's going to help my business. And BloggerCon was just, it was a great opportunity for developers to go in, listen to users that run the full spectrum from not knowing about RSS feeds to podcasters who are, you know, basically I consider kind of on the edge here of what's happening in the blog sphere. So, you know, it was important for them to listen, and I'm glad that Nick did, and I'm hoping the rest of the developers there listened also. And if you don't listen, then you should be ashamed of yourself, that you need to start listening, because the users usually know what they want and what they need. But in the same instance, and I saw a comment on IRC about this, users must be willing to pay for what they ask for. So if you're going to go and start bitching to a developer about a need for something in the software product, you know, be willing to pony up the cash to pay for that. Okay, there's an article on Boing Boing And it's, I normally don't talk politics in this, and it really doesn't go into politics, but it talks about Persian bloggers receiving death threats, and that it's too bad that you know, we live in a world today where there are still people out there being repressed and are being threatened, their lives threatened upon what they put in their blog post. And I guess we'll see what happens here. But you know, when you talk about some of these fundamentalists, and you talk about someone threatening their either religion or the way things are happening, and they start getting to the point where they're going to threaten their lives, it's pretty scary, and you wonder if it's really worth it or not. I know as an American, you know, we value our freedom of speech considerably. And a bit of good news, it looks like the Firefox 1.0 is going to be released on November 9th. So we're looking forward to the full release here coming up on Tuesday. So it's going to be real interesting to see how many downloads they get on the released version, and hopefully it comes off without a hitch. But I want to congratulate the Firefox team in advance for their hopefully successful launch of Firefox 1.0. On eBay, actually it wasn't on eBay, but in Albany, New York, 8 eBay sellers were ordered to pay nearly $90,000 in restitutions and fines after admitting they bid up the products online to inflate the prices. You know, I'll be honest with you, that... So be it. I'm glad they got fined, and I hope they chase down all these other rat bastards that do the same thing, because I know I do a little bit of collecting of a certain type of memorabilia. I'm not really going to talk about what I collect, but I will say that, you know, it runs the gamut. Everything from, you know, a couple of dollars on an item to, you know, maybe $30 or $40. I have got to do something with this leveling on these audios. Recordings, because I'm not going to do this again with these things blaring in my head like that, and I apologize to all of you for that. But anyway, you know, I know I've bid on some things where there's been, it went 5 days without a bid, and I bid on an item, within a couple of hours there's another bid, and so I bid again, and immediately it comes back, and someone has, you know, set a ceiling on something, and I'm almost half tempted at the time to stop bidding on an item, because I almost can bet it's someone running the bid up arbitrarily, or, you know, against the rules. But how can you prove it? And when you're bidding on something that's $2 or $3, you know, it's really no big deal. But when you bid a dollar initially and no one has bid on something, and then maybe the item's only worth $3 or $4, you know, it pisses you off. And I'm glad to see these guys got caught. Engadget has a pretty interesting article about the new iPod photo, on how the remote control doesn't affect anything with the photos. So, you know, you basically can cue this thing up to show photos on a television. But, you know, it runs on its own. You can't do anything to control it. You can't pause it with the remote or anything. And I think Apple blew it big time on that. So... strike one for the iPod photo. Save your money until they get it fixed. You know, maybe they'll come out and do a revision of the firmware, but who knows. But I think they really blew it on that one. I think Engadget got it completely right. Now, something else Engadget's doing this week is they're giving away free MP3 players. So, but here's a catch. You're going to have to check their site out pretty continuously, because they're going to make it so that they're going to say, okay, here it is, guys, go get it. And the first person makes a comment on this article, guess what? You win yourself a free MP3 player. Cool. I'm going to be watching Engadget this week myself. Maybe I can score me one. Let's see here. What's the next one on? I guess there was an article on... okay, that's not the article I want to talk about. Oh, here's the article I'm talking about. Coronati did an article on BitTorrent cease and desist. And this is going to, those of you that are hardcore BitTorrent users that are out there maybe downloading some material that you shouldn't, the RIAA is watching you guys. So they've sent out some cease and desist letters. So that should get the hair on the back of your neck standing up. So, you know, everyone thought that BitTorrent was going to be immune to the watchful eye of the RIAA and MPAA, but guess what, guys? It's not. They're going to go out there and they're going to be going after you. So watch it. Now, there are some interesting comments on the post that talks about you know, basically if the lawsuits that they're going to be, if they're forthcoming, we're going to be talking about shows are on basic cable shows. So we'll see what happens. But I can guarantee if it's copyrighted and someone owns a program and they're sharing it, guess what? They're going to go after the people. And along that same line of thought, the Business Software Alliance has raised the bounty of the fines that they're going to assess to basically if you call if your employer is not registering software or running illegal copies and you're the whistleblower on it, the BSA is going to be giving you a little bigger check on your snitch status. So we'll see what happens there and that, but we'll see if anybody starts turning in the companies they work for. You know, that's kind of like biting the hand that feeds you, but I've been a firm believer for a number of years now of paying for what I use. You know, everyone, I don't care who you are out there, I'm sure everyone has used a program that they have not paid for, and I decided a number of years ago not to do that any longer, just because I want to get want those products that I like to, you know, the software that I use, I want it to be supported down the road. And if you don't pay for it, those developers, they can't feed their families and they can't sit behind a computer and code. They got to go off and do something else. So everybody, please pay for the software that you use. Now, it seems that the podcasting is kind of, I don't know if podcasting caused it or not, but there's a group in California that are going to be giving you free downloads and you can get the Bible basically loaded on your iPod. So I'm sure that there's a market for that for some people, and those of you that do Bible studies and stuff like that, if you want to get the Bible loaded on your iPod, it's available for free. So I'll provide the link up on the site for you so you can check it out. See here. We talked about the new version of iPodder. Oh, something kind of on the science front. It really isn't too much on the science front. And it talks about the aurora borealis. And I originally grew up in Michigan, and as a kid, I live in southern Michigan, so we didn't see the northern lights too often. And I remember it was a cold October or November evening, and my parents were at some friends of ours' houses, and they used to play cards a lot with some people we knew. And we came out of the house, and the northern lights were just, the sky was lit up, and the tentacle fingers of the aurora borealis was just an amazing light show. And as a small kid, I remember being scared to death because I had no idea what it was. And I remember my mother, I think, sitting down the next day with me and trying to explain what it was all about, and I think I was bamboozled at the time. But I guess there is one hell of a show going on right now with the aurora borealis. So if any of you that are living in the northern part of the United States, I guess go to spaceweather.com and check out the pictures they have. It's pretty amazing. Now I'm trying to keep the shows to 30 minutes, or it's a 24 minute mark. And so I'm getting close to wrapping this up. As always, send your comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com. Or we appreciate the feedback that we've been hearing so far. And, of course, visit the website at www.geeknewscentral.com. I'm looking forward to getting tuned in to those BloggerCon sessions that I missed through IT Conversations. And if any of you have got, again, if any of you have that podcast session already captured, hey, email it to me. I really want to hear it. And if any of you guys out there are inclined, I could really use an intro jingle. I kind of downloaded a couple of clips this weekend. I hope you like that little modem sound at the beginning of the show. That kind of reminded me of some old days of dialing up to BBS's. But send us your comments.